We are recognizing and celebrating the works of Black composers and marking Juneteenth through music, the commemoration of ending of slavery in the U.S. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kend. This is Lift Every Voice and Sing. It's a hymn from 1900, often called the Black National Anthem. This version, arranged by William Grant Still, performed by Vidamus Ensemble, featuring baritone Robert Honeysucker. Join in on recognizing Black music composers and musicians, 800-642-1234. Lori Skelton is host of Afternoon Classics on the WPR News and Music Network and the All Classical Network from 1 to 3 weekdays, producer and host of Wisconsin Classical. Lori, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
It is so good to be here, although I feel rather odd following that incredible voice singing. I'd rather just sit back and listen to music for the next half hour.
I agree. Can you reflect on that performance of Lift Every Voice and Sing?
Obviously, the voice is powerful, but this is an arrangement, and of course, you get a great song, and everybody wants it. William Grant Still is one of the founding fathers of Black classical music in America, and I love the arrangement we have here. It's a chamber ensemble, so a group of varying sizes can take part, and yet it has strings, and it has a piano, and it has winds, so you get everyone involved. And it's a marvelous way to bring music, classical music, into any situation. You don't always need a big symphony orchestra. Not that big symphony orchestras aren't wonderful, but so very often composers get their start or performers get their start working in smaller ensembles, and this is a great example of a small ensemble that just sounds so rich and powerful.
Lift Every Voice and Sing has such powerful meaning and undertones through history. Can you explain the cultural significance of this song?
Well, it was written at the turn of the 20th century. James Weldon Johnson wrote the words. His brother wrote the music. The first time it was performed, it was 500 school children in, Jacksonville, Florida, to celebrate Lincoln's birthday. And then in the 50s and 60s, it began to be sung more and more often as part of the civil rights movement. So it starts with young voices and grows. Lift every voice and sing. Every voice. I think that phrase does have power. The words are marvelous, but it is every voice. Mm. Every voice that becomes a part of a musical fabric that is continually being woven, being built, being created. Classical music, well, no music is static. Mm-hmm. Everything builds on what comes before. But what we think of as Western classical music definitely needs to look at the structures, the pieces that were written before you can go ahead and make your own unique contribution, something that grows the music as it goes forward.
I'm going to reintroduce you here, talking with Lori Skelton, host of Afternoon Classics on WPR's News and Music Network, as we talk about Black classical composers and musicians. Ahead of Juneteenth, you can join in with works that are on your mind, 800-642-1234. And Lori, of course, Juneteenth Sunday, we're going to hear some of the network selections in honor of the annual holiday. We just heard one there. But what connection do you draw between Juneteenth and classical music?
The idea that for European performers, violinists, composers, who were looking to learn about African music in the 18th and the 19th centuries, there wasn't the ethnomusicology studies in Africa that are being done today. And so many composers and performers were looking to America, looking to the music, the spirituals that came out of slavery, or the music that was being created by free black musicians in the northern part of America. People were looking to these compositions, these voices, these performances as to say what has a tie to America, and then, of course, what has been growing out of African melodies in American soil. When Antonin Dvorak came to New York in the 1890s to be head of our National Conservatory, here is a composer who had a deep love of the folk music of his homeland, and when he heard African-American spirituals being sung, he said, "It is in the Negro melodies of America I discover all that is needed for a great and noble school of music."
That's powerful.
So, I mean, this is at a time when American composers were only just starting to be educated in America. For a long time, if you were a musician in America, you were sent to Germany to study classical music. And Dvorak comes to America and says, no, you've got the roots right here. Pay attention to your music and grow from there.
Let's hear another selection, Wade in the Water, from 24 Negro Melodies by Samuel Coleridge Taylor. And this is performed by pianist David Schaefer Gottschalk. Could just go on and keep listening, Lori. And listening to the instrumental version is really beautiful, too, in the nuance there.
Because he's doing with Wade in the Water what European composers had been doing for centuries, taking a known melody and elaborating it, giving it a structure. The theme and variations that we hear in Brahms and composers going well into the 20th century. Take a melody that you know and show all of its possibilities. So it's not just a simple spiritual. He's showing us just how complex and gorgeous it is.
Samuel Coleridge Taylor has such an interesting background, too. And I'd love you to give a nod to, you know, his just the composer and the conductor and the political activist.
Well, here is someone who was raised in Britain. He was named for Samuel Taylor Coleridge. His mother was an Englishwoman. His father was from Sierra Leone. Here is someone who was fighting against racial prejudice all of his life, bringing African-American folk music in with concert music. He has pieces called The African Suite, African Romances, the 24 melodies that you mentioned. He would have heard the Fisk Jubilee Singers on tour in Europe in the 1890s. And here was music that he found incredibly powerful. He's probably best known to some in the Milwaukee area for the cantatas based on the poem The Song of Hiawatha. That's what made his name around the world. But I think it's with the pieces that he wrote featuring African melodies and African-American spirituals that I think have the real staying power in his canon.
We're just going to pause here for a moment and go out on Autochthonous, composed by William Grant Still. Lori Skelton, our guide, host and producer of Afternoon Classics, and we're exploring Black American composers and celebrating Juneteenth. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. This is Violin Concerto No. 1 in D Major, composed by Florence Price, performed by the Janáček Philharmonic, I think I said that right, Laurie Skelton, Janáček Philharmonic Orchestra. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and we're on a tour of Black composers and musicians who made their mark on the classical world, going unnoticed, unrecognized sometimes. Florence Price wrote more than 300 works, first African-American woman to achieve national acclaim for her compositions.
And she's going to have that violin concerto played this coming October. The Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra is including that work on that particular concert. There are a number of Wisconsin ensembles that have been bringing more Black composers, Black performers, composers of a number of incredible traditions are starting to show up more and more on the concert hall. So if you want to know where in Wisconsin you can hear this, get a dart and throw it at a map of the state. Or if your local ensemble hasn't yet found this, go ahead and ask them. Tell them you want to hear this.
I love her story, died in 53. Most of her works were unpublished, and many of her scores just went missing. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about her life?
She was, as you say, the first African-American woman to have her music performed by a major symphony. She was doing a lot of work in Chicago, which was having something very, very similar to the Harlem Renaissance going on in the early part of the 20th century. And music critics were calling her work faultless. Quote, a work that speaks its own message with restraint and yet passion, worthy of a place in the regular symphonic repertoire. They recognized that this wasn't just a novelty. This wasn't just, oh, aren't we wonderful? We're playing music by a Black woman. They're saying this is absolutely worthy to be up there on the stage with Mendelssohn, with Mahler. This needs to be heard. This needs to be a regular part of the listening experience, which is why those of us who program classical music at Wisconsin Public Radio have made a point of keeping this not just for Black History Month, not just for Juneteenth, although we're certainly happy to highlight it for those days. This needs to be a regular part of our programming, and it is more and more so. Even before COVID, I know Stephanie Elkins was working with our music librarian, Dennis Ryan, to make it easier to identify Black composers and Black performers in our database. So right today, we've got somebody on the Google Doodle, Amanda Aldridge, a British and African opera singer and composer who I did not know about. And so when I get off air with you today, I'm going to go learn more about her and see if we can get some of her music on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Let's listen to a bit more of Florence Price here. Can you talk about how the violinist is an advocate for her work?
We've got somebody, Erjine Kung. This is a recording that came out a few years ago that I know a lot of people paid attention to. And I gather it got Erjine a little bit of attention on his own account that this was... this was important enough that he needed to have this out there, whether or not this was actually part of his own background. I guess when you spend a lot of time with classical music, you tend to forget that there can be boundaries. You tend to forget that there can be, well, this is my music, or this was my heritage. You start thinking about it all as, I want to share this with everybody. Mm-hmm. So it's incredibly important, and can still move me to think, oh yeah, we've got to start crossing over and learning from one another.
Lori Skelton with us, who hosts Afternoon Classics on WPR's News and Music Network, as we talk about Black classical composers celebrating Juneteenth and some of the selections we're going to be hearing in classical music on the network in today and in coming days, and the efforts to bring more exposure to these composers. Join in at 800-642-1234. Lori, where do you want to go next? What should we listen to next?
There's what Norman is going to be playing at 11 o'clock today. Some of the 6 stanzas for string orchestra by Ulysses Kay would be a good one.
Perfect. Let's listen. Said that there's a tune in here we might recognize. I'm trying to pull it out.
Actually,
that's not it. Okay.
That's not Ulysses K. What you're listening to right now is something I've got on for this afternoon.
Ah.
This is something that was touring Europe in the 1830s, because this is from Francis Johnson. This is a short dance.
Yes.
I believe he was the first African-American composer to have works printed as sheet music.
Uh-huh.
Played violin, played keyed bugle. He was considered one of the leading military band leaders in the 1830s in Philadelphia. So bringing that to Europe, again, was having quite an impact on other ears. The 6 dances for orchestra that Ulysses Kay wrote includes, the first one has Skip to Malou in it.
Okay, and let's hear 6 dances in.
Okay.
That is so lovely. I love that, Lori.
Again, the idea of taking a simple melody and elaborating it. Mm-hmm. I've got to back up. I got my violinist mixed up. Erjin Khan is not he. She is a part of the Fort Smith Symphony, who has been doing so much to advocate for getting Florence Price's music recorded. So she's actually working with John Jeter, the conductor of that symphony, to get her music out there. I do apologize. I got my violinist mixed up, which is a lovely problem to have when you've got this many opportunities.
Yes.
Wisconsin ensembles have been playing as recently as last weekend. The Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra played a brand new work by Jesse Montgomery, and Madison Symphony, Lake Geneva Symphony, Duluth Superior Symphony, Milwaukee Symphony all have Black composers and performers on their concert schedules for next year. I'm waiting to hear from other ensembles around the state when we get ready for the brand new concert season.
Lori, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for asking.
Lori Skelton, host of Afternoon Classics on WPR's News and Music Network. You can hear Classics by Request every Saturday morning at 10 on the network of Wisconsin Public Radio News and Music Network. If you have a favorite piece by an African-American composer or performer, fill out the online request form that's on the Music tab at WPR.org. Let's go out here, listen to some more music on the Ideas Network.